welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 510. I'm Adam, and I said okay. And here's Mary Lang.
Oh, the mothers. Every time.
Debbie Melrose for 2 weeks running.
Thank you. I'll be fine at the moment. It's probably just cramp.
Didn't quite get that because there was a funny noise. Say again.
I'll be fine in a moment. It's probably just cramp.
Oh, it wasn't worth saying twice. Never mind. And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Really shouldn't take that long to reverse the polarity. I must be a bit out of practice.
Yes, today we're going to be reviewing, hopefully with Ben a bit later on, the Lazarus Experiment. Is that what it's called?
I can't remember. Yes. That's what it's called.
The Lazarus Experiment. So, without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Never heard of it.
Only people that have been on the show right from day one will remember that particular... Uh-oh. I hear movement in the other room.
Uh-oh. What have you done wrong now, Adam?
Usually it's to do with being too loud.
Oh.
Right, so Doctor Who...
existing, right?
For God's sake. Start again. So Doctor Who starts with a sort of, not quite, you think initially it's the title sequence, but no, it's the TARDIS sort of whizzing through the time vortex and the Doctor fiddling around with some controls and stuff and being a bit flamboyant while he takes Martha home, literally home.
Right next to her washing line.
And I do love the bit where he grabs a pair of her knickers and she looks really embarrassed. That's quite
Everybody has an era.
And then the funnier thing, of course, he's looking on the mantelpiece of all the photoshopped photographs. The two children sort of not nowhere near, could be next to each other with a photoshopped playground in the background. The lighting's all wrong. Come on, guys. It's really, really bad photoshopping. But I suppose where it's on the screen for a few moments, does it really matter? I don't know. Well, it mattered to me. I noticed it.
Obviously.
So the Doctor sort of says, well, goodbye. And then, of course, there's messages coming through on Martha's answer machine. And we call it voicemail now, don't we? And mainly from her mother saying that Tish is on the telly.
So master.
Oh, geez. No, not the master. Well, it is the master, but he's not on it yet.
Remember those days when we all had both cell phones and home phones?
Yeah. Yes, I remember those heady days.
We've still got an answer machine on the landline.
The landlines is where all the advertisings and scams were happening.
Yeah, exactly. I got rid of mine ages ago.
Yeah.
I think I was one of the early people to get rid of it.
Well done.
Well, Fred wins.
Yeah. Anyway, so that there's a message come through from Mum saying, turn on the telly because Tish is on the telly. And she just happens to be stood next to Mark Gatiss, who's made to look old for some reason. Oh, no, sorry, it's the character, isn't it? It's Dr. Lazarus. Professor Lazarus, Dr. Lazarus, whatever he is, announcing that he's going to change humanity. What was the words he used? Change humanity forever or something like that?
It was one of my quotes. Hang on.
You should know it off by heart then.
Oh, I did not use that as a quote. Oh, well.
Okay, right. I suppose while you're looking it up.
Oh, I didn't know I need to. Okay, fine, I will.
This is a piece of music that lasts about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
I am Professor Richard Lazarus, and tonight I'm going to perform a miracle.
Yeah, that's not it, though. That's not the bit I said. Because it makes it's the line that makes the Doctor come back and say, did he say?
Oh, that. Okay.
Ugh. Right. Well, while you're doing that, Lillian Robin says hello.
Tonight I will demonstrate a device which will redefine our world.
That's not what he says either. No, not that will... Oh, never mind. Not what he says. That's not the bit I was looking at. I'm sure somebody will know what I'm talking about. It's the bit the Doctor says as he comes back.
Oh, change what it means to be human.
There we go. Got there in the end. Because Tim says, this time next week, Doctor Who will be on. Indeed it will. He'll be sort of finishing about this time next week. And then he says, still don't get why they aren't taking a break from the journey. You are miles away from the current episode. No, we're not. I don't intend to hold it on for too long. But thanks for that, Ian. Isn't that nice of Tim to...
It's Tim Jury. Come on.
That's because I called him Ian. We'll be talking briefly about... But it's very difficult, because obviously some people aren't going to see it straight away. Oh, tape's come to an end. But yes, it is closer than you think, the stuff. About a year away. Maybe a bit more.
What are you talking about?
When Doctor Who's on next week, we will be talking about it briefly the week after. Yes?
Okay.
But we're continuing the journey through these six episodes of Flux, or whatever it's called. Yes? And then when we actually come to the episodes that are on this week within the journey, we will talk about it in more detail.
Yeah.
Still got, like, ages to go before we get to the Flux.
Oh, be quiet.
And do you remember when we were talked about the Flux not very thoroughly the first time round? It'd be like 2 years' time.
The point is that we will discuss Flux, but... only
about what we thought of it.
I liked it, I didn't like it. Not
sort of, yeah. We're not going to go into a deep synoptical thingy until the journey part of it comes. I made that decision when we hit the New Who era.
Okie dokie, Cokie.
Yeah, so the TARDIS dematerializes, then the Doctor comes back, like I said. Oh, no, does he come back and say, did he say, blah, he did. And then this
yes, he comes back, he leaves her, lets her get emotional, and then he comes back because he's so curious.
Ah, you see. Anyway, so the next shot is old Lazarus in the office with Mavis from Coronation Street.
yeah.
I don't really know.
Having a bit of a sort of business discussion, and then he sort of flirts rather... disgustingly with Tish. And obviously
I love how wonderfully Mark Gatiss does sleaze. He's very good at sleaze.
He must have been watching Doctor Who, because that's a typical Doctor Who.
Well, I've adored him since League of Gentlemen were on the radio, for goodness sake.
I had my picture taken with him, as some bird decided to photo bomb it. Never mind.
Yes, she did, and she was really, really nervous about
it. Oh, dear. Is that because you were stood next to me, sort of, with Mark Gatiss sort of in between us? Is that because you had your picture taken
and
with me?
And he said, podcasters, and I went, he went, there's no such thing as small podcasters, and I was like, oops, owned by Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, thanks for playing it down, Debbie, that really was great. So the Doctor and Martha get a bit dressed up to go to this sort of function, because Lazarus has got a big sort of
black and white
demonstration and announcement to make.
Master?
No, not the master. You're getting confused, Kirby. And it's spoilers, because that's not for a few weeks' time.
In a deleted scene... the Doctor's walking with Martha along that street, and he's wearing the tux, and he pulls out a folded-up copy of the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, because he apparently helped write it. And he was wearing that suit for some reason.
Interesting.
Was it interesting, Mary?
Yeah, well, that he was wearing the same suit.
Now, this is not the same tuxedo as he was wearing in the Cyberman story.
No.
He says in the commentary that they actually spent a little more money this time.
Right. I think that I should try and move it on by introducing this.
Yes, and Ben's that's
what...
it. What did we think of it?
For God's sake. Ben, I do apologise. Kirby is in let's ruin the podcast mood today. That was a perfect introduction for you, Ben. I think we'll do it again, actually. No, sorry. Let's start it again. No, Ben, don't say anything. We're going to have another go.
Can I just ask you to change something? Instead of saying, can I introduce this? As in, you know, I'm not a
Now, this is the theme music, and then I wasn't going to introduce you. Then. Thank you very much. Right?
You know what I mean? I mean, I might be being a bit sensitive on this, but you know, still, I'm not a this.
You are misunderstanding. The this was the music. The you is after that. So if you be patient, interrupted by the person the music's for and the person the music wasn't for. Here we go again. I've got to introduce this piece of music. Because Ben's here.
Yay!
Oh, is that my cue?
Right. Yay!
The hello, iconic reader of Alan T. Butcher's...
Yay! He's here!
Oh, I can't wait for that. Just like a... Yeah. How is everyone? All right.
Well, I've got a piece of music for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ben.
I'm going to watch that match a bit later. I've got really high hopes for it. I think we'll do really well. We've been, you know, not playing very well recently, but still, you know, I've recorded it, and when I'm done with the podcast, I'm going to go and watch that. I'm going to finish my weekend off brilliant. Do you know something I don't?
I've also got a piece of music for, Chris Chibnall. Anyway, enough of that. Right, yes, thank you, Ben, for joining us on the show today. Let's get back on with Doctor. You won't be surprised to hear that we haven't got that far in to the story that we're reviewing. In fact, 5 minutes and 52 seconds. The show's been running for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we haven't even met Martha's family yet.
I really don't want to meet Martha's family. I find them extremely irritating, especially your mother. Right, so... I don't mind Reggie the DJ, he's all right, isn't he? Reggie Yates, and he's all right. But Tish is quite nice looking. But anyway, moving back to India. So Lazarus...
If I can just jump in there and interrupt. No, I'm joking.
Lazarus makes this big thing, blah, 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 change humanity. And he gets in this sort of machine with all sorts of lights and stuff start whizzing around. Reminded me a little bit, or slightly better special effects, obviously, of... the Leisure Hive, when that machine going what?
Yeah, I am agreeing with you.
And that is so important.
Anyway, and then, of course, the machine stops after this. Looks like it's going to
burn. The machine is the very same thing that they used in the Satan pit to go down to the creature. It's just been repainted.
Thank you for that, Kirby. So it starts sort of overloading, so the doctor goes and presses a few buttons to stop it, and then Mark Gatiss with a strange wig steps out, looking very young. What?
That wig was used on The League of Gentlemen. It belongs to Mark Gatiss. They rented it from him for this. So your license fee went to Mark Gatiss to rent his own wig.
That makes no sense whatsoever. If I were a Doctor Who fan, I wouldn't charge Doctor Who to wear something that I'm going to appear in Doctor Who, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
I guess it had to do with the counting.
That's how the BBC work, mate.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Mark Gatiss works, obviously, charging the BBC for the...
They probably told him that they had to do it.
Oh, they had to pay him. Okay. Fair enough. I'll let them off. Right then. Where do you go? Oh, yeah, of course. When he gets all young, Mavis looks really excited that, because obviously she's got a bit of a thing for him. And then he immediately comes out and is a bit sort of horrible to her, to be fair. And gets a bit hungry and starts eating all the canapes. And meets the doctor.
He comes out with a bit of a hunger on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, obviously he's been smoking a bit of cannabis in the container before, while he was, you know.
Fred was watching with me, and she was going, "Ooh, I want some of those."
Ooh.
They definitely look like edibles, don't they?
Yes.
Got a bad case of the munchies.
You can see that. Anyway, so No, there are a few scenes. Oh, yeah. Then he gets a bit sleazy with Martha and kisses her hand. Doctor doesn't like that. He starts flaring his nostrils and stuff. What?
She does a great thing with, she's thinking like an assistant, a companion, and, oh, I have a DNA sample.
Yes, she does. She is quite good that way. Anyway, so Mavis and Lazarus go upstairs to have a little chinwag about the old times, and they have a smooch.
They very, very much point out the cathedral that's going to become important.
Yeah, I know. They did indeed very much point.
It was very much a leading through the nose episode, this one.
Yeah, I agree.
As I was saying, they have a smooch, which is a bit cringy. And then Lazarus sort of turns her face to the reflection to basically knock her down a bit. And while the doctor and Martha...
Mean git.
Yes. Well, the doctor and Martha examine the DNA of Lazarus and find that it's mutating very quickly indeed. Got a very, very snazzy machine that can do that. But there you go.
The machine that goes bing!
Yes. Anyway, there's a few bone crunching sounds coming from Lazarus as he starts twitching and goes a bit funny and falls on the floor and. Mavis thinks that he's having a bit of a seizure, and then he's a scorpion. Well, the scorpion thing comes down, and Mavis goes, and just after that moment, you just see Lazarus with a sort of evil sort of smile coming away and straightening his tie. What does happen to his suit? Of course, it implies that when he does that, he's naked.
So yeah, he's kind of ripped open, doesn't it? But
he's not wearing the tux, so he obviously has found a suit in the office to wear.
Well, he's got that kind of office, which probably has a bedroom, a closet, a kitchen somewhere, you know, one of those.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, yeah.
And they find, obviously, Mavis's sort of husk in the... This is the Doctor and Martha find Mavis's husk in... I'm going to call her Mavis. Nobody's actually complaining, so I'm going to continue calling her Mavis.
I was getting quite frustrated with it, to be honest.
I'm used to you calling her Mavis because when we last spoke about this one, you called her Mavis all through.
Okay, there, Kirby. And what's her actual character's name then?
You?
What?
You?
Not me. No, I'm asking her what her actual character's
name.
Lady
Thaw. Lady Thaw.
Lady Thaw?
Yes. Lady
Thor,
yeah, like...
Okay, Lady Thor. I'll try and remember that. Yeah. She's not in the story anymore, so it's unlikely I'm going to mention her again. Anyway, Martha's mum is getting a bit hacked off with Martha's sort of behaviour of running off. Tish goes up onto the roof of the building to flirt with Lazarus and stroke his face.
Ew.
She's not. She did actually say she wasn't bothered the fact that he was a bit older than her.
That was a perfect ew.
Yeah.
There was a mention
of someone else that was old, that little sort of age gap relationship. I can't remember which one she was referring to. Then the Doctor and Martha come up, and Martha says to her, "You want to get away from him because he's a monster." And
You always have to help me.
Yeah. And there was obviously mention of the cathedral and stuff like that. But the funny thing was, of course, when they're telling Tish that he's a monster, she's sort of talking about... in fact, I might play this bit because it's quite amusing. Yes, a bit here.
Spoil everything, don't you? Every time I find someone nice, you have to try and find fault. Tish, he's a monster! I know the age thing's a bit freaky, but it works for Catherine Zeta-Jones.
It works for Catherine Zeta-Jones. And, of course, in the background...
Yeah, he's
doing his Jekyll and Hyde thing.
He's a monster, Tish. Turn round and have a look.
And they go. The doctor says something on the lines of "Run," and they do. They sort of try and get away from him, but they get chased by Lazarus, who has a bit of a snack on a couple of people that are there. While they all get sort of trapped in because the doors are shut. But the doctor gives Martha his screwdriver and says it's on setting something or other. I can't remember which it was. Kirby.
I think 54.
Oh, Mary!
Mary! Back of the net.
That was really upset Kirby because he would have been wanting to say that particular bit.
No, I was busy trying to think something.
I was busy.
You're busy? Excuse me. But also
sorry.
You'll see when I post it on
Oh, in the meantime, stuff's coming through on the live feed.
Have you bothered with us?
Yeah, eh? Robert Vence Jr., hi, time for lunch. I like Mark's writing more than his acting.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then he says, I'm not eating something better than what Kirby was eating 2 hours ago. That sounds a bit...
Oh, yeah. Like Kobe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that looked awful.
Okay. That was wonderful.
Glad I didn't see it.
It was. I got a baguette from a local bakery. Well, actually, Lidl. It's a store. It's kind of like the Aldi.
Bakery. Lidl is not a local bakery. It's a massive worldwide chain.
Yes. Whatever. Yeah. Well, they made it there. And then I melted some cheddar cheese and had some Marmite.
Lovely. Delicious.
It was wonderful.
Yes, I'm sure it was. Anyway, Roberts then says, sorry, I meant eating something better than what Kirby ate. Then he says, hi, everyone. I meant to say earlier. He said meant to say. He's having problems with the autocorrect, like I have been recently. It's been awful autocorrect at the moment. And then he says, the best story he wrote was The Unquiet Dead. That's obviously Mark Gatiss. And then Brandon Moore pipes up. I was going to say Mr. Brandon. Of course, he is married, but you can't change it from Mr. Brandon Moore to Mr. Brandon Moore. Anyway, congratulations once again. I've seen some of the posts.
Could have hyphenated
some
like
of the
I
pictures
did.
He posted of him and his lovely bride. And congratulations again. He says, sorry, I'm late. I was choking on an olive. Oh yes. And they said, but Mark didn't write this one. No, he didn't. Thank you, everyone. And back to the episode. Yeah, so they're all trapped in. Martha goes to, while the doctor's sort of trying to goad the monster, I'll call it now, Lazarus. Lazarus snacks on some woman and says, no, don't! While Martha goes to some control panel and uses the sonic screwdriver to open the doors, and everybody expects the doctor sort of runs along a few corridors. And Lazarus sort of runs along the walls and the ceilings of the same corridors.
How can that be quicker?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it happens in every single sci-fi thing. Yeah. I mentioned the last couple of weeks we've been watching Lost in Space, and every time that they meet up with this skeleton, scarecrow range of robots, they always run all over the ceiling and all over the... Run in a straight line, sir. It'll be so much quicker.
Yes, yes.
Indeed. All right, so... The doctor is sort of having some banter with Lazarus while Martha goes to a family and says, well, I can't leave the doctor. I've got to go back. He's allowed us to escape. And of course, Mum's not particularly happy about this. And she hasn't even heard what Saxon's little sidekick's going to tell her yet. So she obviously made up her mind about the doctor. Quite rightly so, because you can't deny that Martha is in danger while she's with the doctor. Well, a lot more danger than she would have been if she'd not been with the doctor. But she obviously wouldn't be having as much fun. So the doctor goes into the lab. I'm going to call it a lab, just to, so as the transatlantic people are happy.
Well, he did say the building was absolutely full of labs.
Mm. And sets all the gas caps on.
I didn't see any dogs at all.
Well, Kirby, that's so funny. That certainly deserves... oh, dear, I can't find... Oh, no, it's it. Go on, then. Anyway, so he takes all the gas taps on in the laboratories, and waits for what's his name? Lazarus to come in, and then sort of goes in for a bit longer, runs out through the door, and does a Sylvester McCoy. Well, he doesn't walk. He's basically when the explosion goes off, he flies without the force. It's a bit, not quite Master. As cool as McCoy. Yeah.
Was it Sylvester's mattress still?
What?
Master, yes. Remember, Christopher Eccleston also ran from a explosion.
Yeah. Did he fly
in
from
a Mark Gatiss story?
Now, isn't it for a doctor to run from explosion and land?
Yes.
The doctor does running.
Anyway, so when the Joneses are outside, this sort of creepy looking chap comes over to Martha's mum and tells her that the doctor is dangerous, and then whispers something in her ear. Which is a bit, it's a bit like, Sooty's sort of puppeteer. You know, Sooty would whisper into the puppeteer's ear, apparently.
Matthew Corbett.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that.
Who lived not a mile away from where I sit.
What, Sooty?
Sooty did, yeah.
Did he? Wow, that's a claim to fame. Yeah.
What the heck are you guys talking about?
You could have brought him to FantasyCon. That would have been quite good.
I did. He was just naked.
Explain.
Never mind, Kobe. Google Sooty. Sooty and Sweep. Right then. Where do we go? Oh, yeah. So
But make sure you put the right thing in, because if you put the wrong thing in, you'll be looking at stuff that really you shouldn't.
Yeah. dear. Anyway, so the Doctor and Martha meet up again. It's, what are you doing here? And they sort of hide inside the Lazarus machine. And, of course, now they're sort of trapped. But the Doctor...
That machine is larger than it looks, because it has room for both of them and a cameraman.
Well, God's sake.
And a director. Probably a producer, floor manager, maybe a lighting guy as well, or gal.
And as a topical comment, let's hope none of them got any guns on them. We'll move on. All right. And yeah, so he messes around with the electronics within this thing, and it all starts spinning around. And he makes it sort of emit a sort of wave of energy, which
he reverses the polarity.
Yes, he does.
Which strips Lazarus of his clothes. Oh. No, he becomes unconscious. You're supposed to think he's dead. He's just lying on the floor.
He's getting better
on his face, and they sort of treating him as if he's dead. And everybody comes out of the room. The Doctor starts straightening his tie, and Mum comes up along and slaps him really hard around the face, which is quite a good scene. Martha doesn't like that, and she obviously then sides even more with the Doctor. She decides to go with the Doctor again, against her mother's wishes. Tish decides to go along for the ride, and they go find this ambulance where there's lots of husks of people in. So therefore, they know it's a bit like the when you find little miniature people. When the Master's been around, they know that Lazarus has been around and had a bit of a snack. And they also come to the cathedrally churchy thing and realise that's where he's gone. So that's where they head. This scene reminded me a little bit of the scene when the 13th Doctor and the Joe Martin. The 13th and Joe Martin's Doctor are sort of are in a church, and they start sort of slight discoveries conversation, and then decide to embark on their little trip to the seaside. So it's a bit spooky in the church. Lazarus is lying on the floor in a sort of red cloth, being a bit sort of sinister and mad, and the Doctor's trying to sort of talk him around and also trying to delay his next change, because he's come up with a plan. He wants
to. You can
to get
read on that cloth that it's just a blanket from the ambulance.
Thank you, Kirby. He wants to get him up into the tower, the church tower, and so he sort of manipulates Lazarus into. Well, actually, Martha decides to go up to the tower and sort of goad him up there, you know, to get the monster up there while the Doctor plays a few notes on the organ, plays a few tunes on the organ. And, of course, uses sonic screwdriver to play a particularly loud... how he knew that particular loud note was going to disable Lazarus and nearly kill Martha, I don't know.
Well, because he'd been watching Spinal Tap, because he turns it up to 11.
Hey.
He used his screwdriver to magnify
That's what he did, yes.
Is a receptacle for a sonic screwdriver standard thing on a pipe organ?
Yes. Yes, since 1972, I believe.
Maybe the
Before
Doctor
that, it wasn't quite so standard, but there was such a demand for them, they had to include them in all future
and
models.
And, you know, that wouldn't work with, Tom Baker's Sonic, because it has a completely different design.
Maybe the Doctor installed the
organ. Well, that's why it wasn't
organ.
Done early, you see, Kirby.
Anyway, so what happens is he sets this, and Lazarus falls to his death just before Martha's about to fall to her death. And you know she's going to be rescued, but you don't know it's actually going to be a sister that rescues her. Beg your pardon?
She's the companion. Of course she's going to get rescued.
Yes.
Dead Lazarus. Yes, really, really dead this time. Because his face suddenly, with a blink of an eye, changes to old Lazarus when Doctor closes his eyes. And they go back to the top. God?
Something went ding.
Oh, well. They go back
machine.
To...
it was
ping, not ding. They go back to the TARDIS in Martha's bedroom, and the Doctor sort of says, well, you can come back for one more trip if you like. And she goes off in a sulk when he says, okay. You and I said, okay. You know, and off they go, just as another message from Martha's mum appears on the phone. And the fact, when in hindsight, when you know what's coming up in the next episode, it probably would have been a good idea if Martha had decided to stay at home just for that one episode. But
yeah.
That is the Lazarus experiment. Now, I'll just briefly speak about what I think. I'm not overly keen with this story, to be fair. It's okay. It's watchable. I sort of got distracted a couple of times while watching it. No, I'm not overly keen with it. It got me thinking that there's been a run of stories in this series that haven't been particularly good, and I'd forgotten that. And this is one of them. It's not terrible.
It's got some real bad stories in it.
Yeah, it's okay, but it's a bit meh. Ben, do you remember ever watching the Lazarus Experiment?
Yeah, I remember bits of it. It's not one that sticks in my mind.
No, I'm not surprised.
Massively. It was never one I really enjoyed greatly at the time either. I remember. I can't remember who it was on the feed says, I much prefer Mark Gatiss's writing to his actual acting. I've never a fan of that supposed comedy show that he was in. I think he kind of tried to steal the episode, really. And so I don't think I was a fan of that. I hadn't rewatched it because I'm just so busy all the time, darlings. I'll leave it on the fact that I don't remember much about it, but I don't remember being massively impressed by it when I watched it. Kirby, what did I say last time we talked about it?
I don't think you were on.
Nah. Sorry,
excellent.
I got distracted by the sheer beauty of Motsie Babuse. Anyway, so I'm going to say, Kirby, what did you think so I can watch a bit more of Motsie? Carry on.
Not one of my favorites. Close to the bottom of my list for this particular season series. It's watchable. The
so is Motsie.
Special, huh?
Sorry, no. Carry on.
Ignore him, Kirby. Get on with your review and ignore him.
The CGI, particularly for the creature, is. I mean, the creature itself is good, but having the head, the human head on there, just if they made it something that didn't look like Mark Gatiss, it would have been better.
Help me.
That's another thing. Now you mentioned Kirby, because Motsie's gone off the screen now. I thought it was a bit silly that when he became the monster, his voice all changed, started talking like an ice warrior. That irritated me slightly. Just keep his voice the same. Why was he talking all slowly? And like that. But actually, it's almost like an ice warrior and Voldemort,
isn't it? Yeah.
You've got to be an evil monster. You have to speak like one. Come on.
Yeah. No, he's still Lazarus.
Oh, come on. Hello. My name's John T. I'm a real evil bloke. Listen to me. Yeah, innit? It
doesn't work, does it? You all I am.
No, just talking his normal blimmin' Lazarus voice. Maybe slightly deeper. I don't know.
Well, he has changed, and that would change the way his voice works. But also, if he were a giant insect scorpion thing and that size, he would collapse under his own weight.
Oh, God. It's a science fiction chestnut.
Fantasy TV program.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. Yeah.
Now, at the very end, I was watching or listening to the commentary, and Mark Gatiss points out that, and I'm doing some research right now. I'll do the research later. But apparently, at some point, the sign on the TARDIS changed from saying officers to officer.
Right.
That's bothering me because, yeah, I just opened up the 20th Doctor Who celebration, the 20th anniversary book by Peter Haining, and the first color picture in there is of Hartnell in front of it. It says officers, and this very specifically says officer.
That would be coming.
Bye. Okay. That's a life-changing event there.
Well, yeah, for
I mean, I mean it is. I think what needs to be added at this point, though, is that I can't get my iPhone to stay connected to my PC so I can transfer my photos across. I think that probably matches Kirby's story.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, also, I don't know. I'm getting.
I mean, it's frustrating as well.
Yes.
One more bit of pedantry.
Oh, God.
Which I could either point out now or point out comments. When I read the comments. Master's ring, you know, that when at the very end when.
Be careful what you say here.
You remember the Master's magic ring that
obviously
they use
an
later
English
to try and remember where it falls off of him later on.
It falls off when he gets burnt. His body gets burnt.
Right, right. That has the same logo on it that Lazarus Labs uses.
Ooh.
That was a big build-up, wasn't it? Thank you very much, Kobe. Have you done that?
Take a look at the picture I posted on the Facebook feedback. You'll see.
Okay. Well, are you finished with your thoughts on this
story? Yeah, it's one. This is one that I won't necessarily go back and watch unless I'm forced to.
Indeed.
and by the way, when we did this one before, Alicia was extremely enthusiastic. And was mad at you because when the Omega podcast decided to crash us, they decided to crash us. You dropped her off the call because she was in her bedroom.
Yeah.
And she got mad at you because she just so wanted to talk about this particular story. It was great hearing her being so enthusiastic.
But about the wrong thing.
Yeah, really.
Right, live feed.
No, about Doctor Who in general. I mean, she was paying attention to all sorts of stuff back in those days.
Yeah, right. I know you used to do that.
And I also had the geek daughter was in my room when we recorded, and she was contributing. We had all of the Omega podcasts people on, and it was just very crowded. We had Reese and Robert, this is amazing. I'm done.
Was I there?
I'm God. About to see.
God.
I wasn't. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Stuff that came through has come through on the live feed. We have Andy Nunny says Kirby's
yes,
meal.
Yes, you were there.
Was
you were
excellent.
There.
Marmite is delicious, and anyone who disagrees is a Philistine. And Mary Blick Lang. says, then I am a Philistine. Andy says, Master, we know who you are, so don't need a name badge. Shut up. And then Robert Bench Jr. says, the ending felt it was taken from Batman. And then says, maybe the machine dried his voice out. And Neil James says, the Doctor should have offered Martha's
That's
sister
very true.
To join them in
That
the TARDIS
happened.
Too. What?
Oh. Well, maybe it was actually meant instead of being called the Lazarus experiment,
yeah.
It should have been called the Larynxus
very
experiment.
Good. Yeah, let's say Neil James
that
says
that almost works, isn't it?
No, Neil James says the Doctor
give,
should have
give
offered
me some
Martha,
time.
And I agree with this. I agree with this, Ben. The Doctor should have offered Martha's sister join him in the TARDIS, but then he may have been double slapped. Worth it, I reckon. She was quite pretty, wasn't she?
Well,
not
you
quite
know,
as pretty
if
as...
if she'd been a companion, then she couldn't have become a Renslayer in Loki.
Whatever. But isn't quite as pretty as Motsi Mabuse. We haven't had Mary yet, have we?
Have
you talked to Deb yet?
I guess my earlier was enough.
Well, no. Do you know why that happened? I'll rewind that. The reason why that happened is because I got put off by various people. Sorry, Debbie. I'll play you a special theme tune just to make up for it. Here we go.
The past is another country.
Where's the boy?
987's just the Isle of Wight.
There you go, Deb. That was just for you.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to have to watch this one again, please. I just don't enjoy this one. I feel like you're led through the nose through the whole thing. It's like, okay, we're going to move our scene very shortly into that room. We're going to talk about it first. And it just wasn't brilliant. It was a very filler episode, but you had to also pay attention because the Master's mentioned the dynamics of Martha's family comes into play. And you know it's going to become a thing because family is a thing now in Doctor Who. And it's sort of trying, the way he tries to give up Martha and then doesn't. It's like, why do that? That was unnecessarily cruel sequence at the beginning. That really was. That was, if you go, you
I
go.
I agree.
And if you're going to investigate it, go and investigate it. Why did you come back for her if you were that adamant about dropping her off? You know, it's not fair. You don't. Yeah. He's moping about Rose and he's playing with someone else's heart. And I think that's just mean.
Yep.
And that basically sets how the tone for
Debbie,
how I feel about it.
It's only a TV program.
Yeah, I know.
It's not real. Martha was fine.
It's the right. I know Martha was fine and everything, but it just really did at the time. The first time I watched it, I was like, really? We're doing this? We're showing that he can be inherently cruel like that, you know? And it's like, yeah, but then they justify it by like, oh, yeah, he's an alien. He doesn't really understand. It's like, I'm sorry. He understood perfectly well when he was with Rose. And that's it. It just kind of sets
the
scene.
That's what all blokes would do. You miss your Rose and then you move on to your Martha, but you don't kind of move on to your Martha. You kind of like half move on to your Martha. She's allowed to stay over and everything, but you never call her your girlfriend. That kind of.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah, basically.
I will say the good things about it. Kirby did cause a bit of controversy on the feedback request by saying the CGI was crap. The thing is, the CGI is also of its time. You have
indeed, that's very true, Debbie. I agree with
how
you.
How old these episodes are. This, you cannot compare this to modern CGI. You can't even compare this to CGI from 3 years ago.
I thought it was bad when I was watching it originally.
Yeah, but this is it. It's of the time. At that time, dragons were crap, monsters were awful, and you mourned for the puppetry. You know, at the time when CGI was evolving, it was like, can we just have the more realism of the puppetry?
I thought the dragon in Merlin was all right, though, Deb.
Not now,
if you look at it now, but at the time.
You look at that now and you're like, there's so, you know, we've had Game of Thrones since then, and it's like, it's the same thing. But the one thing I did like about this was the way the music led the story. And I thought that was nicely done, and Martha's theme in it again. And it's a nice piece of music. And unfortunately, that's the best thing I can say about this one. It's a shame because Mark Gatiss is amazing and the acting is just too OTT for me in this one.
Okay.
Well, then the wonderful Mary.
Hang on, it's got to have the proper introduction. I do apologise doubly, Mary. But I'm not surprised what you're going to say.
Mary, yeah.
This
let's lie.
Actually, you better wait till I finish, Mary. I'm going to intro you every week now.
Okay, well, let me know.
You'll know when I finish because it's your name.
Are you done?
I'll do it again. Adam, you do the music.
Oh, you want the music? Okay, here we go.
Mary.
Oh dear, that run a bit wrong.
Lie.
Cute.
All right. This lands pretty far down in my rankings.
What a surprise.
It's only saved from the bottom by the 12th and 13th Doctor seasons. The best part of this whole episode for me was Freema Ajima in that beautiful dress. I think she lights up the screen every time she's on. So she's becoming, you know, quite a favorite for me. And of course, I love the music. And of course, they had to have that little string orchestra play her music during this. So that was nice. This was made in a bit of a hurry because they weren't sure they could get Mark Gatiss because he was so busy. But when they got him and they could dedicate some time then to making this, then they totally changed the script. to accommodate what they thought, you know, would be using him a lot more. Because the original story that was written, or that was, the idea of the original story was supposed to be more centered around the Jones family, due to, you know, how they're going to come up again later. So we were supposed to get to know them a little bit more than this scrappy stuff that we saw. And the baddie in this one was just supposed to be a guy who kind of made a Faustian bargain with the devil to gradually get younger, you know, almost like a Benjamin Button kind of thing. But once they, you know, got the word that Mark was available and that he really wanted to be in this, then they totally rewrote it to make him, you know, this big baddie, because he said that his one thing was that he wanted to play a baddie. So,
yeah.
So he got it. He got it in spades. Something makes me wonder, you know, when I think about this, Martha would have been there anyway, because with her sister being the one that is running the event, the whole family was invited. So Martha would have been there. And I just wonder how she would have reacted differently had she just been there, you know, and then witnessed the doctor trying to save things, maybe with another companion. I don't know. But, you know, she really takes charge here because she is his companion. But I just wonder what she would be like if she were not.
Yes.
And there anyway. So those are my thoughts, well, as Ellen would say.
Yeah. Some might sound like that was a different one, isn't it? Well, thank you.
Master.
Yes.
If I would like to point out, by the way, that the Lazarus experiment, when we last spoke about it in July of 2012, was the very first podcast, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode that featured Mary Lang.
Yeah. Really? Was that?
Well, right? That deserves another.
You've been providing.
I was giving you guys feedback, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were providing feedback before, but this—that was the first time you were actually on the podcast.
And what did she think of it then? Oh, all right, fair enough.
Nobody heard what you said.
I heard what I said. I said, what did she think of it then?
I don't remember. What did you think of it then?
Oh, she won't remember either. That's why I was asking you.
Since I don't remember doing it, I guess I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, dear. Anyway.
It's about the same.
Martha. Okay. Sorry. Robert Bench Jr. says, Debbie is right. Doctor Who only had so much to work with. And then he says, Martha is hot. I'm the series and in... in the series and in Torchwood and in everything she was in, to be fair. Very pretty girl.
She
doesn't look any different.
Martha was in Torchwood as much as she should have been.
Martha walks the earth to save the world. And she gets a bad deal.
Beautiful.
Spoilers.
And she got 14 blisters.
Master?
Yes, darling?
just by the way, just a little bit of pedanticness here.
It's unusual.
Mark Gatiss' appearance in the story makes him one of five people to have both ridden for and acted in Doctor Who.
Okay.
The others being Victor Pemberton, Derek Sherwin, Glenn Jones, and Toby Whithouse.
Thank you. What's Toby Whithouse in as an actor?
What was he in?
That's what you should really get your facts together, so people are bound to ask these questions.
I think he was. I'll have that information in just a minute.
Oh God!
Well, one thing I can be sure of that if
he was the German soldier in Twice Upon a Time.
Splendid. Sorry, Mary, you got
comments back then would not have included, you know, where I would have ranked this in comparison to the 12th and 13th Doctor C.
It's true. No.
Okay, right then. So
And by the way, that German soldier in Twice Upon a Time was talking to Mark Gatiss.
Oh, sorry, you're finished now. Sorry, Motsy was on the screen just for that moment. I just got slightly distracted.
What are you watching?
As a result of Strictly, but I'm just watching Motsy was on the screen at that particular time. Yes, Kirby, you have
Adam, I tend to watch the results of Strictly after we podcast.
I'm not telling you what they are. I'm just admiring Motsy Mabuse. I'm sorry, but they're watching it in the other room, and I need to know at the same time as them. Kirby, you have a particular feature of this show that you own, which allow me to sit back and watch a bit of Motsy. Carry on.
Yes. Tim Drury is the first person to say something about it's not shoddy CGI. It was very impressive at the time, to which I disagree, but still, like I said, they shouldn't put his head on there. Neil James, the Lazarus experiment. I really like Martha's Family. I think Adam probably disagrees with that.
I like, I think Tish is very pretty, and I don't particularly mind Reggie Yates.
And I like Mark Gatiss, and I like Massive Monsters. All of these things are present here, but I'm sorry to say that I don't really like the story. The CGI has dated, but let's face it, we don't all love Doctor Who for its history of wonderful effects. The monster design is quite good with its scorpion sting, and everyone looks very sexy in their evening wear, but it just seems like a mid-series filler episode and serves only to whet our appetites even more for the mysterious Mr. Saxon. When this originally aired in the UK, the following episode, 42, was to be delayed because of the Eurovision Song Contest. Mm-hmm. So to keep us fans happy, they made a special trailer showing what was to come in the second half of the series. I probably watched that trailer more than any other Doctor Who trailer before or since. Even today, 14 years later, it still gives me tingles. Not in my pants, you know what I mean, you perverts. something that doesn't give me tingles is the Lazarus experiment, 2 stars out of 5. And then he has a link to that particular trailer. Robert Wentz Jr. says, I was thinking Scorpion King with the CGI they used in the Mummy movies. Kirsty posted a picture of, I had to ask her what this was. It's Mark Gatiss in a curly wig. Apparently, Mark Gatiss was discussing various wigs in the commentary, by the way. And he's wearing this curly wig from a show he was in called Nighty Night. And that was, they were actually considering using that wig instead of the blonde one that they used.
Okay.
Well, it's Kirsty that put that in there. Don't blame me.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm just gonna reset my own machine again. I think I came back in at a point I didn't want to.
Robert Wentz Jr. says, my review of the Lazarus experiment. To my surprise, it aired on my birthday of 5 May 2007.
Happy birthday for then.
Yes.
Professor Lazarus tried to find the Fountain of Youth, but instead messed up his DNA. In the end, he became a vampire sucking out life force from other people, like the movie Life Force, which was worse and more like a zombie movie anyway. David looked great in a tuxedo. The ending slows down like the Batman movie with the Joker and Batman fighting in the bell tower. The same could be said of the Professor and the Doctor.
I haven't seen that yet. I was going to watch that after the Man United match.
Let me know when I can continue.
You can continue, but expect comedy insertions.
We get more of the Saxon arc in this story. A below average story, my rating is 2.5 out of 5. Billy Kirkbride.
Sorry.
I wish I could speak in his accent. I saw it once back in 2007.
Oh!
Carry on.
Like he was in the room.
I saw it once back in 2007.
No, you've got to do the whole thing like that.
I say apologies to Billy.
Have another go, Kirby.
At the time, it didn't have a good impression, hence I've never gone back to it, and I doubt I ever will.
Oh, good. You didn't do a very good job of the latter part of that particular...
Oh, brilliant, Kirby. You've obviously worked on it.
Brandon Moore says...
Half of Northern is everywhere.
I think I need a tissue. Oh, God.
Mr. M says, still no time for a full review this week. I will say this story is full of good ideas that don't work. The monster looks terrible, the plot is aimless, the character is thinly drawn, but there's nothing terrible in here, just average, 6 out of 10. He also posts a picture of Linus with carrying a sign, the great pumpkin is coming.
Hooray!
I post the picture showing that the Master's Ring seems to have the Lazarus logo, or Lazarus Labs has the Master's Ring design.
Indeed.
And I will not read
no,
Ian's...
No, you won't. Is that it? So that's the end of your section of the show.
Unless you want me to read Roberts.
What about Roberts? You're not reading Roberts, no, because I have passed that particular job over a certain Mrs. Melrose. But at the moment, we're going to do something else. It's going to be this...
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
The Lazarus Experiment by Stephen Greenhorn. Lazarus was a man in the Bible who was brought back to life and then lived a long time. Professor Lazarus built a machine to extend his life. What a strange coincidence. The doctor has been very insensitive with Martha. Professor Lazarus was being insensitive with Lady Thor.
Yeah.
Lazarus's machine was a hypersonic chamber. This allowed the doctor to defeat him with a sonic screwdriver. Another coincidence.
Yes.
Martha is a medical student. After she hid with the doctor inside the machine, Lazarus seemed to be dead. Why didn't she check him out? Perhaps she always leaves the ambulance men to deal with drunks and genetic experiments. Mm-hmm. I did not like this story much. It reminded me of Tooth and Claw. Love-struck Rose faced a CGI creature, and now love-struck Martha faces a CGI creature. The commentary track on the DVD was by David Tennant and Mark Gatiss. They said the reception party was filmed in a bank that had never been used. For the scenes on the roof, the cathedral in the background was added by CGI. The scenes inside the cathedral were filmed in Wells Cathedral in Somerset, beautiful, after St. Paul's and Southwark turned them down. The bell tower was built in the studio, and they recreated a section of the cathedral floor in the studio for Professor Lazarus's death scene.
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus's hypersonic chamber was a redressed descent capsule from the Satan pit.
I said that.
Mark Gatiss pointed out a mistake in the sign on the TARDIS door. It says officer instead of officers.
Uh-huh.
Bye for now.
I said that.
I'm good. Yes.
Master. Couple of things. First of all, that wasn't an unused building. That was the Welsh... assembly building for the government.
All right. Okay, thank you.
I thought it was a disused bank.
It was not a disused bank.
No, I'm just saying you mentioned also, Wells Cathedral.
Apparently, the officer, the S was dropped in 2005, apparently from that
point
on. Well,
welcome to the Spelling of Officers podcast.
And I have added a link to Doctor Who, A History of the TARDIS Police Box Prop.
Whoa, how fascinating. Anyway, so as I was trying to say, I remember going to Wells Cathedral on a school trip many years ago. So that's another Doctor Who location I visited, along with Penarth High Street, where the 11th Doctor, was it 10th? 10th Doctor gets shot by a Dalek and does a sort of semi-regeneration just afterwards. So I have visited a few Doctor Who locations, Kirby.
Yeah, his talk to the hand moment, yeah.
I also visited Benbridge Sailing Club, where the 3rd Doctor alighted in the Sea Devils.
That they used for... a couple of times in Tom Baker's era.
Yeah, but we were on school trips, so you're not allowed to wander off.
Mm. Aw.
I've been there as well.
Oh, God, Andy. Sorry, Andy Nunn is very quiet today for some reason. It's very unlike him. So what we're going to do... Sorry to interrupt, everybody. It means I've
Has anyone
to...
been to Darley Gulf Strandon?
Oh, no. Rose went there once. Doesn't she?
I went there. It's lovely.
Is it?
Yeah,
all right,
I
so,
had voices, and I followed them and ended up there.
Fortunately for me, I have a piece of software called Adobe Audition, which will allow me to enhance the audio of Andy and Nunny, and Dawn and Zach and Nunny, and Nunny and Nunnies, while Debbie Melrose dictates...
You should find something called Bass Thump, Adam.
No.
No, it's a setting in Adobe. It really sorts everything out. It's really cool.
No, it's just said the audio through too quiet.
He's actually talking sense.
I know he is, but I'm saying that all Andy's done is just sent the audio through and it's too quiet. So, so Debbie Melrose.
Robert's feedback.
Yes.
Not my feedback. I remember not really liking this one back when it first aired and on subsequent viewing. However, it's not quite as bad as I remember. Yes, the CGI isn't as sophisticated as you get now, but it does the job well enough. Watching the Confidential episode afterwards made me realise that I'm fed up with a lot of so-called monsters, or should that be creatures, in New Who. They always get them to do the stupid snarling and roaring. It's so tired and makes me love the old creatures in the classic series. Take Zygons in point. They were just creepy in The Terror of the Zygons. In New Who, they have the crappy pointy teeth and the crap snarling. I know which I prefer. Anyway, digression. I still don't warm to Martha's mother. I know she's under Saxon's influence, but she seems just plain nasty. I'm sure Adam will bring up something about her being the eyebrow lady or something like that.
And oh, I'm yes, I forgot about that. Yes, she was eyebrow
isn't
lady.
Isn't she one of the cats?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. That voice is spectacular.
And Master made a big deal last time we talked about this one about her eyebrows.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
I remember it now, but I'd forgotten it because eyebrows have become a bit more fashionable nowadays.
Well, mine never grow back from the furor they went through in the 90s. Only did it once, never got them back. Okay, I digress too. And I'm sick of the implied relationship crap too, like the Doctor is finally getting over Rose and accepting a new girl into his life. What utter shite. It really grates with me. I'm sorry. What utter S-H-Y-E.
You said utter.
I know, it's so rude. And what is it with Gatiss's mouth? His hard palate looks jaundiced yellow. While the aged makeup is good, I always have a problem in that no attention is paid with the eyes. The eyes always look youthful. If you look in an old person's eye, they look old. They're not a bright white. There's cloudiness and burst blood vessels. That always spoils the otherwise good effect. Mm. I will take umbrage at the name Lazarus, though. It's not particularly clever. It's a fast-paced episode, though, and not too taxing. I certainly didn't mind it as much this time, and that's all he wrote. Scarecrow.
Thank you.
His commenting about the eyes. I read that Mark Gatiss was having a lot of trouble because he had to wear contact lenses that would make his eyes look all roomy and, you know, bloodshot and stuff. So I don't know.
Maybe he just had trouble with it and they just couldn't get anything.
Yeah, maybe they took him out. I don't know.
And maybe he should have just got really hammered before they filmed it.
The way I look at Lazarus's name, I mean, this poor kid grows up with the name Lazarus, so he decides to get obsessed by it.
It's funny because you say about actors getting hammered before doing scenes. I was watching the movies that made us Halloween movies, as in Halloween itself, and Donald Pleasance was absolutely completely blotto, but was able to deliver all his lines and acted sober. Mind you, he was an actor. Right, so this have Andy Nunny's feedback. I've given it a little bit of a boost, so let's hope we can hear it.
Well, hello, 20 million.
No, we
well,
can't. Hang on, Andy, shut up. No, hang on. Right, we'll have to give it a further boost. Let's see if this works.
Well, hello, 20 million. It says it's me, and it's now, and I'm here, and I've just done the ironing, which means, of course, I've been watching Doctor Who, the Lazarus experiment. Watched the first half it with Stormageddon, who was not at all fazed by this monster. In fact, he told the lovely Dawn that the monster crushed the people's heads with his pincers. Wasn't quite how it happened, but he does have a very vivid imagination.
Rather worrying imagination.
Something called Trevor Henderson on YouTube, which is quite dark in places, so I think Doctor Who is not going to phase him. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm going to turn the volume up a bit because it's the volume.
Oh, no, not now.
That should be better. There you go, Adam. Now I'm going to deafen you all. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this. It's it's an interesting one because you can say, in a way, by the time you got halfway through, he turned into the monster and you knew that obviously the monster's going to die. It's just a question of how it's going to work out. So the first bit is the action of the creation of the Lazarus beast. And it's interesting that it's a throwback. It's something in our genes, in genetic. You know, it's one of the legs trousers that we didn't go down, if you know, your Terry Pratchett. But it's just interesting that, you know, DNA, genetics, what could we have been? This is something that could have happened, but didn't. But interesting that the fact the beast was able to change back into the human form, change back into the beast form. It must be quite a hell of a stretch on his skin, but no marks there at all. And Mark Gatiss, yeah, you're going to see just about everything he's got, which is not a pretty sight, I must admit. It didn't do that for me, but never mind. However, the first bit, it's, you know, something, it can't be done. It's simply impossible. So how is it impossible? And you get a clue at the beginning of the hypersonics, which, of course, comes back at the end when he plays the organ. I think a lot of people also would have picked that up. Lovely reference when he's playing the organ to Spinal Tap, isn't it? I thought that was great, that was. But I think the interesting part of that story is that the moral question about, you know, is immortality, would it be a blessing or a curse? And the Doctor actually just knows so much about this, you know, because he knows what it's like to go on and on and on. That's why his companions are always transient. He can't take it with him because he knows he will see them die. You see, as I said, everything turning to dust. And it's, you become weary. You become weary of the world. There's, I'm trying to think which the Tom Baker story is where they keep getting regenerated. And I can't think which one it is. No doubt Kirby, we just shout at the screen. Shout at the screen? We shout his PC what it is. So I'll take a break. Kirby, what was it, please? Thanks, Kirby. but yes, it just shows that immortality isn't perhaps everything's crapped up to be. There is a time. There is, yeah, there is a time to die. There's a time when, you know, we do have a sort of lifespan. We get weary. I think just physically and mentally, you just, people do just get tired, and it is, you have a lifespan for that reason. And that's why it's this moral code that the Doctor keeps to, that he knows he's, although he's got a lot of new bench of regenerations, he's not immortal. He still could die. And he accepts that, but he accepts the price of that is the fact that he will see people, he will lose people. You know, I think the only person probably still in his life around is his granddaughter, Susan, who is probably out there somewhere. I wonder if one day she will reappear, you know, perhaps not as Carol Ann Ford, but as somebody else. You never know. You never know. And of course, you get the big hint at the beginning of Saxon, and then you get Harold Saxon. Now, it's when you change it and you watch it back, you know, perhaps at the time, it's a case of who's Harold Saxon? No, he's obviously someone like that. But of course, now it's, you know, your antennas start twitching because we all know what's coming and how important it is and how big a story arc that was. So I think throwing those clues in that get people listening, I think this is what RTD does so well. And hopefully, when he picks the story up again next year, you know, we'll go back to things like that. We, you know, with a story within a story, with clues, with hints, and you get a lot of self reference that does work very well. But all in all, yep. I thoroughly enjoyed this story, got my ironing done, and be seeing you.
Well, thank you, Andy. It's a very nice of you,
Master,
too.
Yes? What was he asking me? I was busy researching a pedantic thing.
So you weren't paying any attention? I think it might be this bit.
Perhaps not as Cal.
Hang on. Here we go.
Susan, who is probably out there somewhere. I wonder if one day she will reappear.
No, it's not.
You know, perhaps not as Carol Ann Ford. But...
I don't know, Kirby. Anybody remember?
No.
That's how much we pay attention.
I can't remember what he said now. Maybe it's this bit.
You know, we do have a sort of lifespan. We get weary.
Oh, well, something to do with the Tom Baker talking about the Tom Baker
episode, was it, when something happened that similar happened?
Yes,
in
when
the episode
he went on about outliving companions. A bit like, reminded me a little bit of the first Highlander film, and obviously. Can't remember the character's name now. Connor.
The Highlanders?
McLeod. Connor McLeod.
Jamie McCrimmon?
The Highlanders. Highlander, not Highlanders.
I know.
Brief.
Well, I'll listen back to this when you put it out later in the week and I'll answer it then.
Okay. Right then. So, while we're on, I don't want to forget this, and I was so thrilled by Kirby's attempt to do the Billy Kirk Bright impression. So what we're going to do, I'll make a simple line.
I thought Billy came on.
No, it actually was Kirby. We're going to have Mary and Kirby have a Kirk Bright off against each other.
No.
All you've got to do to say is Billy's catchphrase, great stuff, right? So I think we'll have Mary
great
first.
Stuff.
Oh, don't coach them. Right, Mary, go.
What am I doing?
You're doing a Billy Kirk Bright impression. So it's all you've got to do is say great stuff in a Billy Kirk Bright way.
Great stuff.
Sorry, I got the stuff bit, but not the great bit. Start again.
I'm supposed to say great stuff in a Billy Kirk Bright.
Yes, you are. Go for it.
Okay. Great stuff.
Kirby.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
I've got giddy now.
Billy Kirk Bright from
Great Stuff. Go on, Debbie, you've got the best chance because you're northern.
I just did it. Great stuff.
Okay, it's more like great stuff.
Great. Right then, is it right great coming from Yorkshire?
I wonder if Billy can do it. We got a lovely message off Billy, actually.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I'm not going to play it, but he was he'd had a few tipples. He sent me and Tippy a message. It's absolutely
hilarious. Was he doing travelling with crystals?
Yeah. Oh, that was so funny this evening. Anyway, right. So another bit of feedback came through from Terry Miles, and I can't remember who I sent it to now.
You sent it to me.
Oh, Mary.
Okay, so Terry and Linda Miles say, the doctor delivers Martha home, and he decides to stay on when he hears that Tish, Martha's sister, has organized a party for a scientist to reveal a discovery that'll change mankind. There's Thelma Barlow. She spent 50 years living with Mark Gatiss. The 72-year-old Dr. Lazarus is going to unveil his new machine. He enters the machine, and what's this? They've got a big red button. When the machine goes wrong, the doctor manages to stop it, and a few moments later, Dr. Lazarus emerges as a young man. It amazes everyone except the doctor, who soon sees that the machine has scrambled Dr. Lazarus' genetic code, and it changes him into a deadly creature. The doctor and Martha are trapped inside Lazarus's machine, and the doctor fiddles with the machine innards and then says, it shouldn't take that long to reverse the polarity. I must be out of practice. The skyline around St. Paul's is all wrong, even for 2006. The doctor meets Martha and Tisha's mom, who is not happy that Martha has taken up with this strange man who doesn't seem to have a name. The doctor doesn't do domestics. Suffolk Cathedral has changed since I saw it last. More proof that this is a parallel universe. Someone keeps telling the beautiful Ajua Ando, playing Francine Jones, that the doctor is very bad news and dangerous. Who is this Mr. Saxon? More to follow. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Well, thank you, Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, thank you.
That leaves us with Mr. Ben Shoveler, who's about to dictate. Alan T. Butcher.
Now,
yes,
there's a thing in radio that if you don't know the name you're saying, say it quickly and confidently, and maybe you'll get away with it.
I somehow think that's unlikely to happen.
That's all I'm saying here. Here we go. Make like the immortal jellyfish, Tarabitus Dillon, or Lazarus 2. Beyond, see, you didn't even know, did you? If I hadn't stopped, you wouldn't
didn't
have
even known. Notice.
What is it? Turritopos? No, turritoposis.
I have no idea. It looks like turritoposis. No, turritopsis.
Alan, if you comment on the feed, if you're listening, spell it phonetically.
Yeah. It looks like turritopsis.
To make then, life a little bit easier. Dornier. I'm going to call it Jeff.
Or Dornii. That can't be right.
No, Jeff. Just Jeff.
Jeff, okay.
Make like the immortal jellyfish, Jeff, or Lazarus 2, Beyond Jesus. Dear 20 megabyters, the Lazarus experiment is, of course, a closely studied examination of cosmetic surgery employed for resistance against aging. It effectively puts forward the message that while some success be obtained initially...
Oh, sorry. That was one bit, wasn't it? Sorry. Carry on.
You've got less idea than Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer.
He said some, and I thought I was in. I was there, ready for it, for the sum.
Oh, your finger was on the button, was it?
Yeah, some. There you go.
It effectively puts forward the message that while some success be obtained initially, the inevitable endpoint is that you will become monstrous and probably be best dispatched humanely. Or not. Seems harsh, but there it is. It should be noted that whilst... that the de-aging process at the centre of the tale is a sham scientific, but really magic one, rather than a proper sci-fi concept. In fact, Doctor Who is a fantasy sci-fi TV series, and therefore it's fair enough. But actually, reprogramming old cells to be like their young cells really is a thing. And there are claims of natural instances of this in the immortal jellyfish, Jeff. So it really is like hard sci-fi. We also learn that Mavis Wilton, a Riley, long-time shop assistant, like Rose Tyler, also found a place at the side of an ahead-of-the-time scientific genius. But whilst Rose's destiny was somewhat tragic, sucked out of her life to another reality, Mavis's destiny, under the name Lady Thor, perhaps in this universe married to an ennobled Inspector Morse, was much worse, having the life sucked out of her completely. All in all, the Lazarus experiment is a fairly limited but lively runaround, which mainly serves to move forward the Saxon season arc slightly, and to give a sop of foreshadowing about a process which will be prominent, prominent aspect at the end of this series. The guest cast is perhaps a bit arch, rather. What? The guest cast perhaps a bit arch, and their characters rather cartoonish. The plot of mad scientists, monster created, people die, monster dies, is as cliched as basic as it gets. As we can expect, though, the main cast play it for real to lift it to the great tradition of Doctor Who. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as there is not a lot going on, and another episode might have been used to make a much fulsome story. Next up, Doctor Who and the magical sun creature, or Cindy Beale in a spaceship. Those are my thoughts. I've been quite busy this week, which is why it's only taken 10 minutes to read, not the traditional hour and a half. Alan T. Butcher!
Marvellous. Okay, that moves us on to Doctor Who news. I've got a trailer here for Flux.
I've got some Doctor Who news.
I'll go and do yours before I do the Flux trailer.
I watched, not deliberately, if you understand.
Right.
It came on in between something I was watching and something I was probably about to watch.
Mm.
I saw the trailer for the new series.
No, should I play it now?
Wasn't it?
You know, it looks so bad. The little tiny bit of me that was thinking maybe you should watch it was absolutely eliminated or exterminated or deleted.
I don't understand why that trailer was so bad.
It is appalling. It will attract nobody to watch it. It's just shocking.
It's the end of Doctor Who.
No.
I just don't understand.
You're not wrong, Kirby.
That bad, no.
I'm not being funny, but after seeing that, it's like no one. It's just crap. Sorry.
But anyway, yeah, there's a monster that looks like my dog.
It's the way it has no real narrative.
Okay. Shall I play the audio?
Yeah.
Here it comes.
No. No, don't.
It's happening again.
Who are you?
I'm the Doctor. This is Raz. This is Dan. Why don't I know about this? And who else does?
Very odd.
It was a Sontaran and a nude.
Maybe we should have brought that to you a little bit more gently.
Oh, yeah.
Is that?
It's coming. Be ready.
Our final fight has begun.
Whoa. Stay away from me.
One epic story, probably not. Urban
We've got a future to save.
And weeping angels and cybermen.
We don't have any more time.
And a Liverpudlian comedian. Falling crystals. Doctor Who Flux.
I've got some hope for the use of the falling of the weeping angels because I absolutely love them, but I do feel they're used.
Yeah, okay. Well, the expectations.
Two-parter, they've stretched into a six-parter.
Well, there's six individual series around episodes and around the series arc of Flux. But like I said, that it's quite likely to be like a flux capacitor that resets all of Doctor Who to a better time.
Oh, no, it was all a dream. The Doctor's going to go and have a shower and everything's going to be
No, no, that's not what I said. What did I say, Kirby? What did I suggest on the 20 megabyte page this week? It's a time beetle. It wasn't Donna who had the time beetle on her back in Turn Left. It was the Doctor.
Yeah, you suggested that, yeah.
What, so therefore David Tennant will come back as the Doctor as I predicted about 4 weeks ago?
if I'm right, that is a way they could do it, Ben.
Tennant's done very recently, in the last couple of days or so, you know, it's just come out. And he was asked about a return to Doctor Who.
Yes.
And he fluffed around the subject, but he didn't say no.
Ah, put it that way. Well, if they did that... No.
It was almost then... like he knew he was going back to it.
We will see, but that's the way they could do it. They could time beetle him. Michael Ferguson has died at the age of 84.
I think that caused way too many issues, mate.
Thank you. He directed 21 episodes of Doctor Who, working on the series since its beginning in 1963 through to the 1970s. He later went on to work on EastEnders, responsible for a revival in the fortunes of the soap. So he's passed away. The first episode of Flux is called The Halloween Apocalypse, rather appropriately, because obviously it's on Halloween. And it features in the photo that published on Doctor Who News, DoctorWhoNews.net, is a picture of the Doctor talking to my doggy, Star. Also looks like a Wookiee that's had a haircut. And it also says, with 1 week to go until the return of Doctor Who, BBC has released more details about the upcoming series. This is not a spoiler, Kirby, because his series hasn't started yet. Jodie Whittaker, Mandip Gill, John Bishop and Jacob Anderson star in an epic six-part adventure that will take the Doctor and her friends to the edge of the universe and beyond, just as usual, in a battle for survival. Packed with action, humour, terrifying new villains and old ones, I suppose, iconic returning monsters such as Sontaran's Weeping Angels. The new series of Doctor Who tells, or new half series, tells one story across a vast canvas. It features a host of acclaimed British acting talent, including Roshenda Sandal, never heard of her, Annabelle Scully, never heard of her, Craig Parkinson, never heard of him, Kevin McNally, might have heard of him, Sam Spruill, never heard of him, her.
I've got a friend called Sam Spruills.
No. Robert Bathurst, never heard of him, Steve
I've got
Oram,
a friend called
never
Robert
heard of him,
Batman.
And Thaddea Graham, never heard of him. So, yes, I'm sure they're very talented.
Yes, so it's so wonderful they can't even attract top talent to come and be in.
They're awaiting them, keeping their diaries open for the RTD2 era. So there you go. That's the Halloween Apocalypse, which I am looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to watching new Doctor Who, even if it's rubbish. So because it's Doctor Who, and I'm a Doctor Who fan.
Exactly.
I don't buy into that theory, ethos, whatever you want to call it at all. Why would you want to watch something that's rubbish just because you like the thing that it surrounds?
It's in the hope that it isn't rubbish, Ben. Simple.
Exactly.
But that's like I don't know. I'll give you an analogy. Mm. A football club who's been knocking around the bottom of the Premier League for
the
last
talking about
years,
Southampton?
Being relegated 10 years ago and just coming back
Shut
up recently. You know, it's like going into the series into the season thinking that you're going to win the Premier League and then being disappointed when you don't.
Yes, but Ben, you're
clearly not.
Yes,
and it's the same with this.
It's the same with
rubbish.
Being a Manchester United fan. Look at what they're doing.
No, exactly. But that's my point. And why do I watch it? Well, I watch it to make sure that the bet that I've put on against the opposition comes in.
Oh dear.
So you know, no, I can't watch it just because I like Doctor Who. It doesn't look good. The last couple of episodes I've watched with that bloke Jodie in it have been rubbish. I just not entertained me at all. So this is, I saw the trailer and it was just like, nah, I can't be bothered. I've got better things to do with my time than
And I totally that. Understand that ethic. But for me personally, I just probably a little bit too fanatical about it and will watch it because I'm a completionist as well. I don't want to be in the situation I've missed an episode of my favourite show, even if
well, I don't respect
there's a possibility
your
it might be rubbish. I do love Doctor Who. And sometimes, on the very odd occasion, even in the three eras or doctors or whatever we've had since RTD, there has been a couple of really, really good I can think of one good story with Jodie. That would obviously be the one where they went back to that lady on the bus. What was that one called?
That's a terrific episode, although the big villain was just a one-off villain.
Yeah, that
again,
part of it was rubbish. Yeah, that never. But they might come back to him, but I don't care. But the story itself was really good.
The Dadoon in it were great. That was a good episode.
Yeah, the Dadoon episode with Joe Dadoon, Martin was fab. Yeah, that was a really good one. Going back to Capaldi, there were some really good ones, like when you know we had to bash through that block of ice. Was that called Heaven Sent or something like that? That was a really good one. There's a couple of really good ones here and there.
There was a trilogy of horrible ones.
I don't want to talk about those, Kirby. I'm going to talk about the good ones. And going back to Matt Smith, certainly, you know, the anniversary story with Tennant was in and stuff, that was really, really good. So not all of them are rubbish. There's some real gems in there, but not enough for my liking. Right then, we can now move on to whowon.co.uk, who have got exactly the same stuff on display as I talked about last week, which doesn't make my job very easy.
Butcher?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. But Clone Monsters...
I thought I saw him.
Oh, you just saw him, did you? Just went past your house. Clone Monsters... What?
He looked like a counsellor.
Yeah, that's probably good in some way, isn't it?
But it wasn't him, though. It wasn't him.
Okay. Anyway, Clone Monsters is a... from a Blake Seven audio tale. Curious, which is a Torchwood story, with a strange looking man on the cover. 11th Doctor Chronicles 2, featuring the Smith of Madness. Is he actually in it, Mary? Matt Smith, is he actually doing some bit of finishes?
Are stories that are like read, they're like books being read.
Okay.
So one voice does all the parts.
Torchwood Empire of Shadows. My voice is going. I'm going to indicate that I need to get a bath and put my feet up for a bit. The Galaxy 4, CD, Missy 3, Ninth Doctor Adventures to Respond to All Calls. And no, those feature Christopher Eccleston.
Those actually have him, and he's great. Yes,
and the Tenth Doctor Dalek Universe has David Tennant in him. So, yeah, all good stuff. And that stuff, among all sorts of other bits and bobs, can be purchased via Who Won. They do have categories on their website for things like CDs, DVDs, books, action figures, play sets and remotes, although there's only actually one on there. It's the 13th Doctor's rather saucy sonic screwdriver. There's also posters, greeting cards, mugs and homeware, some of which I already have, thanks to the lovely Debbie Melrose. Doctor Who collector's items, that's obviously books, the Target books and novels and what have you. Torchwood items, Sarah Jane Adventures, they've got the Sarah Jane Adventures, a complete box set on CD. That is now available, Kirby, on BritBox, the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yes, I know.
Along with one of my favourite comedy series called The Thin Blue Line, featuring Rowan Atkinson. It's a cracking comedy.
Sarah Jane is not available in American BritBox.
Is it not? That's appalling, Mary.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Oh.
What?
BritBox. Okay.
BritBox should be the same
everywhere.
It should be, but it isn't. It isn't. It's like Netflix. You know, you guys see different stuff on your Netflix.
That's
than we
true.
Get.
Yes, I agree with that. But true. It doesn't make sense that...
Isla's always asking to watch stuff that she's seen on a YouTube video or something, and I'm like, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But Sarah Jane Adventures is cracking, and that rather indicates the weird fact that Doctor Who can't be consistent, but yet its offshoots can. Yes. I'm sorry, Kirby.
I've got Sarah Jane Adventures on DVD, which is fine, but Sarah Jane Adventures is on HBO Max.
Oh, there you go.
Here.
Okay.
So, as well as Torchwood.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I'm going to quickly mention iwheroes.co.uk because the set of Squid Game characters has been not released but been sort of teased, if you like. So, if you like the Squid Game, the Funko Pops for that are coming out and character.
I'm not at all interested in.
Nor am I, but there are lots of people that are.
Absolutely, totally irresponsible television should not be allowed on. My wife works in a school and kids of 6 are copying some of the stuff.
They shouldn't be allowed to watch it. It's an adult program.
No, it shouldn't even be on telly because adults aren't responsible enough to not let their kids watch it, which is how they copy it. It's appalling television.
I haven't seen it, but I will take your word for it. Deb said that it was quite shocking, but she enjoyed the drama of it, and Isabella quite liked it. But she's of an age that is unlikely to be doing silly things. But yes, I agree that certain television programmes are a bit, what's the word for it, irresponsible. So I respect your, what's the word for it?
Comment?
What do you sentiment? That's the word sentiment. Have you seen it, Debbie?
Seen what?
The Squid Game.
Squid Game.
Yes, I've seen it several times over.
And what's your opinion?
Well, that's why I'm staying quiet because I think it's wonderful.
Okay, but it's not. It's not really.
Fred,
How would you feel if Isla started doing some of the violent stuff they do in the playground at school?
Well, she already plays British Bulldog and things like that, so yeah. She's already there. But I totally agree. I mean, Isla's school sent out a please don't let your kids see Squid Game, and I think it's disgusting that parents are letting their kids see it. There's age limit for a reason.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, one of my favourite all-time ever films is the original Battle Royale, and it's very much of that. So it's been a comforting hug for me.
Yeah, it's a far cry from when I was in the primary school.
I would
school
not let Isla near it. If she came downstairs when I was watching it, she didn't. It would have been telly off straight away. I wouldn't have even let her look at it.
It's not the Wombles, is it?
It's definitely not the Wombles. it's up there with Teletubbies for strangeness. But
I say it's a far cry from when I was in the playground at primary school, and we were all going around exterminating people.
Well, we used to do British Bulldog, and that got banned from our school because that got pretty violent.
Yeah, we used to play that at Solar Middle School.
It was when we played it. So
I didn't like it, but I was okay at it because I could run fast in those days, so I used to avoid getting thumped.
We used to sell eight balls in our playground at primary school. We were mad on crack.
Oh, God's sake. Anyway, Lavazzi.co.
I have pictures of you with some pool balls, sorry.
Lavazzi.co.uk.
If that's what you want, then.
Sell all sorts of Doctor Who items that you can wear, like scarves, ties, gloves, sweaters, jumpers, bags, phone covers, if you happen to have a particular type of phone. And they also sell the 13th Doctor scarf and T-shirt. I've got the 13th Doctor T-shirt upstairs somewhere, but I can't see where it is. It's in 2XL, if you want to know, because I know I'm a fat bugger. So it's the only way I'm going to get wear a T-shirt. But fortunately, I have a larger cleavage. No offence to Jodie, but I do have a larger cleavage than she has.
I was in Asda the other day,
I
saw a very nice Guns N' Roses T-shirt. And they had it in XL and triple XL. And the XL was way too tight, and the triple XL looked like a tent, so I didn't buy it.
There's a lot of football shirts now. They're all tight-fitting, so I'd have to get something that's like a
3XL. Oh, they're awful, aren't they, mate? You get them our age, you don't want a tight-fitting T-shirt. No.
When I was going to football, they were like baggy fitting, so they all I could get into a fairly decent size one and not look stupid in it.
5XL,
Well, we're at Lavazzi's, yeah. So you can get Star Trek items from Lavazzi as well. Umbrellas, scarves, bubble hats, beanies, and all that sort of stuff. Actually, a Star Trek insignia scarf and hat set for $37.99. Have a look at Lavazzi.co.uk. Lots and lots of really lovely items to buy for Crimbo for your geeky friend. Or
Adam, what was that website again?
It was Lavazzi.co.uk.
I've written it down now. I shall not inquire again.
We're talking about stuff. There's a new series.
How are you spelling Lavazzi?
Lovarzi.
And how do you spell .co.uk?
Exactly how you said it.
Thank you very much. I shall not inquire again.
Yeah, there's a new series of Lock and Key on Netflix that we haven't started watching yet. Looking forward to that. And I've just been watching stuff. There's an old sort of history series I found on BritBox, and I thought I better start watching stuff on BritBox because Deb was starting to say we haven't been watching it, we'll have to get rid of it, and I thought I quite like BritBox.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of BritBox.
No, you know, Doctor Who's on BritBox, by the way.
I've got all those.
Okay, I've watched loads of stuff that was on Discovery Plus. That's got really some.
I'm replacing BritBox for approximately the same price with Disney Plus.
Disney Plus is good. I still haven't watched. Isabella has recommended me a film called Spider-Man Into the Spideyverse or something.
That's great.
Yeah, she said it's a masterpiece. That's how she described it.
It is. It is absolutely sumptuous. It's brilliant.
So I'm looking forward to when I find the time sitting down and watching that. That's available on Disney Plus. There's a few other bits and bobs on Disney Plus, which my voice is going, which have also, have a look, because they're always putting some really good stuff, they're bringing really good stuff onto it. It's a great service, it really is. You can even watch all the rubbish stuff, like I used to have to put up with when the kids were small, like That's So Raven and Hannah Montana.
Yeah. That's all on there.
Bonjour!
To be fair, though, I had a secret, a soft spot for That's So Raven. I thought she was actually quite entertaining, but I just grit my teeth when a Disney Channel was on in those days, where the canned laughter was just so irritating. And then we had to put up with the whole year and a half of canned crowd noises while watching football on television, which I found even more irritating. So there you go.
Have they got Chockey on there?
Got what?
Chucky.
What's Chucky?
And Chucky's Children, Chucky's Challenge.
They've got every single episode of The Simpsons. That's what I was going to point out. And I was going to watch Chucky? That from the beginning.
From the 80s. TV, didn't you see it?
No.
I can't believe neither of the British compatriots of mine watched Chucky back in the 80s on telly.
Doesn't 1985? Ring a bell.
84.
Doesn't ring a bell.
You're joking. It was a thing that, like a light that appeared in the sky and whirled round, and
it was extraterrestrial.
Was it?
It was mad. Have you not seen? Seriously, no. It will look crap now because it was 1984. But it was a really good series of children's TV, alien program.
I'm surprised none of you have seen it. Really. Debbie's gone very quiet as well, so I presume that she's feeling a bit blank in that department. I've got some stuff come through on the live feed, though, Ben. Remember you talking about how to pronounce the word that you're saying. He says it phonetically is a short I and a T sound. And then he says, let's hope Kevin McNally is reviving his role as Hugo Lang from the Twin Dilemma. And then he says, I watched Chucky. There you go, Ben.
There you go.
With you.
It looks like it would be worth watching.
I've seen Chucky.
Oh, you decided you've seen it now, have you?
Being really
no,
quite
I was
good.
No, I'm dealing with Isla, sorry.
Oh, it's from the same author that did Day of the Triffids.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Day of the Triffids is amazing. The original TV show of that is fantastic.
Oh, yes. John Dutton was in that. I remember that. It was cool.
It was so...
Yeah.
I have never been able to walk past a sunflower, even now, without thinking that it's going to turn into a triffid if it's more than 6 foot tall. It's the scariest thing I ever saw as a child was Day of the Triffids. It stayed with me as just so scary. I then watched a remake of it, I don't know, 10 years ago. Absolute bobbins.
That wasn't good, was it?
No, well, Alan T. Butcher says Chucky is a novel by John Wyndham.
Let's have a quick... Yes, it is. Yes, John Wyndham.
It's a 6-part television drama based on the novel by the same name, by John Wyndham.
There you go.
It was really quite...
I need to find this. This sounds really good.
it's obviously not on Disney Plus.
Kirby, but I remember it being good from when I was, it was 84. I'd have been 9. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not listed under Just Watch.
Well, if I ever see it again, I shall let you know where it is. I might have a search for it.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Indeed it is. Although there's a preview. There's a preview of it here. And it's got episode 1, which is 25 minutes and 17 seconds. At least some of it's on YouTube. There's a trailer, but there's an old episode, a whole episode.
The thing I remember most about it was that not the light in the room that he saw as that was Chucky was the young boys in it, the main characters, appallingly bad haircut.
All right.
It was like his mum had literally finished making
it. Is it a bit like Will's haircut in Stranger Things?
Oh. Now, that's the funniest thing, because, in series 1 and 2, he's, obviously a little 12, 13-year-old with a little bowl cut. And then in the preview for the next series, he's like a grown-up 25-year-old with the short back and sides and sideburns. It's quite funny. And his voice has gone from being up there.
Right, before we end the show, Ben, this is for you.
All right, Isla, we'll be done in a mo, darling. Okay.
Creepy.
I'm not going to sleep tonight, Adam. That's only because the wife's not at work tomorrow. So.
Yeah, it's quite creepy, Ben. There you are. That's for you.
That's really creepy, Ben. Thanks.
What, Chucky or my...
Both.
unnecessary.
Alan T. Butcher says there was a second series of Chucky's Children. Did you get to see that one?
Yes, there was.
There were three series.
Then there was Chucky's Challenge, I think.
I remember seeing something of tomorrow's people.
And then there was Chucky Walkie Doodah when he opened his chocolate shop.
Oh, took him a chocolate shop,
Adam, seriously.
Debbie, talking of chocolate shops, there was a reference. I've actually seen it now because it was in the car park at M&S, the Wonka van.
Oh, I love that Wonka van. It's amazing.
Yes.
You like that, don't you, Ida?
Yeah.
Very cool. Although when I went to take a picture of myself with it, it wasn't there. But there you go. Right, so, yeah, and this is the Wonka van from the
local schools.
Yes, it was a Wonka van from the Johnny Depp version. Just saying. Right then, so next week. Is it next week? No, it's not next week, is it? We can't do it. Right, I can't do it next week.
Next week is the new Doctor.
Oh, hang on. We were going to do it next week, weren't we?
Yeah,
we were going to watch Doctor Who.
We're doing it later. You posted that we're going to record at 7:30.
Yes, so that's right. 7:30 next week.
It'll be as well 6:30 our time. Oh, no.
Yes, the clocks go back.
Which way are we going this time?
The clocks go back. Anyway, we'll be looking at an episode with a very short title, easy to remember, 42.
And it doesn't matter to me because I'm not going to be on next week.
And he's firmly predicted that we'll do it in 42 minutes, apparently.
That'd be good. That would be funny, wouldn't it, if we could?
Do it.
Anyway, right. So, Kirby, so what did you say? I didn't quite catch what you said about next week.
He's not going to be on.
I'm not going to be on next week.
That's cruel.
So we're going to have an extremely brief episode, you know, and you realize that.
I'm going to miss you.
So will I.
I should be on it because it's 42 is, of course, the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Yeah. But I'm afraid I'm going to go see the silent movie.
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make it up as easy. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee. Sorry, I hadn't played that tune for such a long time. I thought it was well worth it.
But you're afraid? Were you afraid?
What?
You said you're afraid. You're going to miss next week's episode. I said, so you're afraid?
Oh, Kirby.
I'm going to be seeing the original Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera with live organ accompaniment.
Well, how cool.
Well worth missing the show for, eh?
Exactly.
Oh, no, that's really good.
I just hope my wife lets me wear my my long cape.
I love the way you pause. It would let me, and we could think, our minds could imagine what you were going to say next.
Have a lovely time, Kirby. I hope you really enjoy that. That sounds like it's going to be cracking.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be cracking.
Yeah, last year I missed our recording on this on the same Sunday around Halloween because I saw the silent version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Well, as it's Halloween next week, I'm definitely going to be in my shed out the back so I can avoid all the snotty.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing next week.
Sweets off me.
So I'm going to
dare they try and steal my sweets.
I'm going to probably have to broadcast from downstairs because these guys will be out.
Apart from podcasting next week, Debbie, I'm going to be getting up early on that Sunday morning to go down the seafront and see the Fawley Funnel get demolitionized.
We're going down,
Like the rest of the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight's going to tilt up northward. Right, that's where it's going to sink in. The front end's going to...
Make sure you film it, Adam, because no one else will.
I'd like to have my own film of it.
I'm going to come home and see what Facebook's done with it.
The only trouble is it's at 7 a.m, which is going to be quite dusky. The sun's
really
only just coming
Halloween
up,
morning, especially on the day the clocks go
back. Weird, isn't it?
It is.
But film it and stick it on Facebook so I can see it. I'd love that.
You won't have to look for it. It'll probably be on the news.
They're trying to stop people go and watch, I think, but I think they haven't quite realised just how much that single chimney... Yeah. Means
it's
to
a major landmark. You really do know where you are when you see that on the horizon. It's such a shame.
It's the cigarette butt. It's it means home. If you see that,
absolutely.
When you're coming in, it's like you're home.
Absolutely. It's not a pretty building, but it's something that it's comforting to see.
See how close you can get to it, Adam.
No, I know you're trying to imply. But yeah, it's sad to see it go. I just wish they decided.
If you can outrun it, stand at the base and see if you can outrun it as it falls.
I just wish they decided to turn it into some sort of just a sort of monument tower or something like that. Maybe painted it nice and just turned it into a tower. But no, they're getting rid of it, which is really really sad.
Because I'll tell you why, because they'll put flats there.
I know, but it's a shame. It's like they saved the blimmin' Battersea power station thing, which was much shorter.
They turned that into flats as well.
Yeah, but they saved the funnels on it and turned it into a...
That's only because they were listed. They were close.
Well, they should have listed the Fawley funnel. I'm sorry. Anyway, well, and I'm just watching a video that I'm on the other screen, which has it in the background. There it is.
I'm downloading Chucky season one right now.
Ah. Congratulations, Kirby. Right then. So next week, some of us will be reviewing 42. So do please join us after having watched a new episode of Doctor Who at 7:30 if you want to watch it live on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, or wait a little bit later in the week when the podcast itself gets released. So thank you for listening, taking part in watching and whatever you with the show. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Bye. Chocky Wocky Doo Da.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.